It's Tuesday the 31st of March 2015 and I'm in Luzhou, Sichuan Province, China.
所以说，以后欢迎大家在这方面有意愿的进行这方面投稿。 接下来呢就有请我们斯大利教授讲座，同时呢我还要隆重的介绍今天担任本堂翻译的呢是我们来自我们北京的这个我们的刘克威先生啊，大家这里欢迎。他基于美国的蒙特雷高级翻译学校，精通英法，当然就是其他一些语种的一些同声传译哈，非常高兴哈，欢迎他担任本堂的主这个翻译。
好，谢谢江校，大家上午好。Thank you
very much for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone.
I'm so happy to be here and meet all the sort of new friends and old friends. 我来到这里时候呢，有很多人问我，我懂不懂得说普通话？我的普通话没有你们说的怎么好？
即刻又说到这里了，那么我就请刘先生替我翻译啊。对，首先呢，我非常高兴能够在这里看到我的这么多的好朋友、老朋友、新朋友都有。然后他下面说的是中文啊。A lot of people ask me if I could speak Chinese, and I think I cannot speak proper Chinese as you do. So I'm going to ask Daniel to translate for me.
I bring you greetings from Australia.
好，我是来自于澳大利亚的。
How many of you have been to Australia?
我想问一下在座的诸位，有多少人去过澳大利亚呢？举下手。
A few? Okay, that's good. Yeah.
还是有些人去过澳大利亚，挺好的。So
you can see that Australia is the smallest continent in the world, but it's the sixth largest country in the world.
所以说，从这个图当中可以看到啊，澳大利亚其实是个非常小的国家，是世界上最小的一个大陆，但是呢，却是世界上第六大的一个国家。So
the population in Australia is about 21 million.
澳大利亚的人口呢，一共有2100万。But
the society is very multinational and multicultural.
但是澳大利亚的社会呢，却是有多背景、多文化。When
I talk about Australia, maybe you associate with our very cute animals, the koala and kangaroos.
说到澳大利亚呢，大家可能一开始就会想到澳大利亚一些非常非常萌的一些小动物啊，包括了袋鼠啊，包括了树袋熊。Like
when we talk about Sichuan Province, we associate with pandas.
就像是我们在国外说到四川呢，立马就想到了呆萌的熊猫。So
I come from the city of Newcastle.
我来自于 Newcastle 这个城市。Many
of you ask me, where is Newcastle?
很多人都问我啊， Newcastle 这个城市到底在哪儿呢？So
Newcastle is north of Sydney.
好，大家可以看到 Newcastle 是在我们整个悉尼，在我们悉尼的北边。
Just 2 hours drive from Sydney, so it's very close.
从悉尼开车呢，2个小时就可以到 Newcastle 了，所以说离悉尼也是非常的近。
And we are facing the South Pacific Ocean.
我们直面南太平洋。
So do you know that in the United Kingdom, there's also a city called Newcastle?
大家是否知道，其实在英国也有个城市叫 Newcastle。
So the Newcastle in Australia in the past is very similar to the Newcastle in United Kingdom.
因此呢，在历史上，澳大利亚的 Newcastle 这个城市和英国的 Newcastle 这个城市呢是非常类似的。
In the past, Newcastle is famous for its coal mining and steel industry.
在过去，澳大利亚的 Newcastle 城呢是以其钢铁和矿业为著名的一个城市。
But now the city has evolved.
不过呢，现在这个城市呢也在不断的进化。
Now Newcastle is famous for its tourism and education.
现在呢， Newcastle 这个小城以旅游业和教育而闻名于世。
So the biggest employer in Newcastle now is the university and also the hospitals.
所以说呢，这就是为什么在 Newcastle 这个城市最大的雇主是大学与医院。
So you can see that we have a very long coastline and we have very beautiful beaches.
大家可以看到啊，我们的海岸线特别的长，而且呢，我们的沙滩也是非常的美丽，美不胜收。
So I welcome you to visit the city of Newcastle, and I will be your tour guide.
那我也热烈欢迎大家能够能够来参观一下我们 Newcastle 城市，我也非常愿意当你们的导游。
Okay, now let me introduce my university, the University of Newcastle.
好，现在给大家介绍一下我们这个大学吧，叫 Newcastle 大学。
So the University of Newcastle is the number one university within 50 years of age.
那在五十年以下的这样的一大堆大学当中呢 ，Newcastle 大学排名第一。
We are also doing very well in our research.
而且我们在科研方面也是非常的卓越。
So we are ranked top 10 of the university in Australia that has the highest research outcomes.
所以在澳大利亚整个国家呢，我们学校是在科研方面排列前十的，就意味着我们在科研这一块的实力非常的强。
Especially our research in medical and healthcare.
尤其是在医学和护理方面呢，我们的研究力，我们的研究实力是非常强的。
We are ranked the fourth among all the universities in Australia.
在澳大利亚呢，在这个领域的研究，我们是全澳排名第四。
So let's have a look at the students from our university. We have about 40,000 students within our university.
再看一下我们大学的学生组成吧，我们一共有差不多四万名学生。
They come from 109 countries all over the world.
全球学生一共109个国家的学生在我们大学学习。
Do you know how many countries we have in the world?
大家知不知道全球有多少个国家呀？The guess is more than 200?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question to answer. Depends how you define the countries. You
know? 其实要算清楚全球有多少个国家呢，挺难的，因为我们界定国家的这个概念是不大一样的。
Yeah, but we can say that we have about 200 countries all over the world.
从大体上来讲呢，全球一共是200个国家。
That means in our universities,We have students come from more than half of the countries of the world.
这就意味着全球一半以上的国家的学生都在我们的大学里边就学。
So our university is really very multicultural.
所以说可以看得出来，我们大学呢确实是以多文化为背景的一所学校。
So my School of Nursing and Midwifery are within the Faculty of Health and Medicine.
好，再看一下我们的这个专业吧。我们的专业呢，其实就是护理以及护理以及助产，是在我们的这个健康学院里边。
Our Faculty of Health and Medicine is the Australian most comprehensive health faculty.
我们的学院呢，其实是澳大利亚整个国家里边最全面的一个医疗学院。
So apart from nursing and midwifery, we have the biomedical sciences and pharmacy, we have medicine and public health, as well as health sciences.
在我们学院当中呢，我们还有不同的几个专业，除了给大家所说的这个护理和助产之外呢，我们还有其他的专业，包括了生物制药以及制药专业，包括了药物和公共健康专业，还有就是健康科学专业。
Okay, so let me tell you something about my school.
好，给大家简单介绍一下我们的学院。
So in our school, we have about 2,000 undergraduate students.
在我们学院里边呢，差不多有2000名本科生。
And about 800 postgraduate students studying master programs.
那另外呢，还有差不多600名学生左右呢，是学硕士的。
And about 45 students in our PhD.
另外还有45名学生正在读博士学位。
So we are one of the biggest nursing schools.
我们也算是最大的一个护理学院了。
So my school has three campuses. So apart from Newcastle, we also have a campus in Central Coast as well as Port Macquarie.
那另外呢，我们的校园，我们校区有三个，除了在 Newcastle 的本部之外呢，还有 Central Coast 和 Port Macquarie 两个校区。
So this slide shows you the programs that we have in our school.
再给大家介绍一下我们学校内部的一些专业设置吧。
Apart from our undergraduate program, we have six master program, top master program.
啊，除了本科专业之外呢，我们还有六项硕士专业。
And this taught master programs, majority of them are online program that our students come from various parts of the world.
在我们的这个硕士的这个项目当中呢，其实都是教学为主的项目，这些项目里边绝大部分都可以在网上进行教学，从而呢能够面对来自于全球不同国家的学生。
And we also have a research high degree program, a Doctor of Philosophy and Master of Philosophy.
那我们还有更高的学位，就是研究型的学位，这些其实都是博士学位的专业。
So the university offers a very generous scholarship for students coming to study our research high degree program.
那对于这些特别高端的学位呢，我们也为学生提供了丰富的奖学金。
And I welcome you to consider University of Newcastle if you would like to continue to study your degree, for example, doing a research higher degree.
所以说呢，大家如果有兴趣要继续深造的话呢，我鼓励大家能够来到 Newcastle 大学继续深造。
Okay, so the few slides show you some of the facilities within our school, our nursing laboratories, and our students.
好，我下面呢几张图片将会给大家介绍一下我们学院里边的一些设备，以及我们的学生，以及学生是如何使用这些设备的。
So you see that we have male students.
所以大家可以看得到，在我们护理学院居然有男同学。
About 20% of our students are men.
其实，在我们整个学生群体当中，20%的人呢是男性。
So you see that nursing is a profession for both genders.
所以说啊，护理这个专业呢是不分性别的。
And the school is also focused a lot on international collaboration, both in education and research.
那另外呢，我们学校也是一个以全球合作为导向的学校，不管是在教学还是在研究方面，我们都追求全球化。
And our students will have opportunities to visit nursing schools or healthcare system in different parts of the world.
我们的学生都有机会能够在全球去参观不同的护理学院以及不同的健保体系。
And our school also welcomes students from other parts of the world.
与此同时，我们学校呢也对全球的留学生敞开了双臂，欢迎你们来到我们学校。
If your students have interest in visiting us, we are very happy to host your students.
如果在座的诸位，无论是你们的学生还是你们自己，要是有兴趣的话呢，我们都非常欢迎你们来到我们学校进行参观访问。
And so this slide shows you the research focus of our school.
好，再给大家介绍一下我们学院的研究重点吧。
And our school has 4 research focus.First, health professional education, and older persons care, mental health nursing, and health services research.
我们研究的主要方向呢，分为四个。第一个方向就是健康专业人员的这个教育，然后第二个呢，则是对老年人的护理，第三个呢，则是对心理健康的护理，最后一个则是我们如何对健康服务进行研究。
And our school is very happy to collaborate with our international partners, including colleagues from 泸州。
那我们学校呢，也是希望和全球的各个同事共同携手起来进行合作，当然也包括来自泸州的同事们。
So in Australia, the Australian government regularly reviewed the research performance of the university and the school.
澳大利亚政府呢，每次都会定期的对澳大利亚的大学的研究实力进行评估。
And in our last research assessment exercise, our school is rated above world standard.
在上次研究实力评估的调查报告当中就显示，我们的学校呢已经是超过了国际平均水平。
And that means our school is recognized as an international leader in nursing and midwifery research.
这也意味着我们学校呢，已经现在是全球护理和助产方面的领先学校了。
Okay, that's all I would like to tell you about the university and our school.
关于我们的大学，关于我们的学院呢，我就介绍到这里。
And I hope that in the future, some of you may have opportunity to visit. visit our school and also have collaboration with us.
我希望在未来呢，大家能够有空来我们学校看一看，而且呢，跟我们保持长期的合作关系。
And for some of you, it may appear to be a very distant dream.
对于在座的其他的一些听众来讲的话呢，可能听起来挺遥远的。
But I can tell you that if you have a goal, you work hard for it, and you can achieve it.
但是我想告诉你们，只要是你们有个目标非常的明确，并且朝着这个目标不断的迈进的话呢，迟早有一天你是会实现这个目标的。
So I look forward to welcoming you in Newcastle.
所以说呢，我就在 Newcastle 大学欢迎着大家的到来。
Okay, so what are we going to discuss today?
那再给大家简单介绍一下，今天我们将会给大家说些什么内容呢？
And today my presentation will be divided into three parts.
我今天的讲座一共有三个大部分。
So in the first part, I will discuss with you some of my research related to depression in older people and also how to promote the mental health.
那我们的第一个部分呢，就是如何的进行心理干预，从而能够提升心理健康。当然了，是如何？当然其基础就是帮助我们要帮助那些老年人的抑郁症患者恢复健康。
And the second part, I will focus on how we can help the family caregivers of people with dementia.
那我们的第二个部分呢，则是探索一下针对老年痴呆症患者的照顾人员的护理干预。
And the third part, I will introduce a research framework.That guide your development of research program.
在最后一个部分呢，我将会给大家介绍一下能够指引护理科研发展的理论框架。
I know that in the afternoon it's very difficult to keep your concentration.
我知道一到下午大家可能都比较会昏昏欲睡。
And we have 3 hours to go.
而且呢，我的讲座有3个小时。
And if you would like to go out, please feel free. Okay.
所以说大家想要伸伸脚。我们都知道啊，现在全球老龄化的现象是越来越严重了，而且老年人里边呢，也越来越多人患有老年痴呆症。
Especially in Asia, with increased longevity and reduced fertility, it is expected that in the coming 20 to 30 years, majority of the older people will be living in Asian region.
尤其是在亚洲，因为我们都知道啊，亚洲的人越来越长寿，而且呢，亚洲生育率也是在直线下滑。所以说呢，在未来20-30年以后呢，老年人绝大部分老年人都生活在亚洲。
And in Asia, family is considered as the primary party that taking care of older people.
而且呢，在亚洲，家庭是照顾老年人的主要单位。
And but however, we also know that in many countries, especially in low and middle-income countries, family caregivers receive very little support, especially from the government, in taking care of older people at home.
而且呢，我们也都知道啊，在亚洲的低收入和中等收入国家当中呢，家庭的照顾者其实是很少得到国家的支持的，政府对这些人呢也没有特别的这个支持和补助。
In many countries.Use of institutions has been low, especially, for example, in Southeast Asian countries.
那另外呢，在一些国家，机构的使用呢其实是很低的，尤其是在东南亚的国家。
It may be related to the lack of knowledge or availability or the cost of accessing to these facilities.
这有可能是因为人们没有足够多的支持，或者是呢本身养老机构就特别的少，或者是人们没有足够的资金。
Or maybe because of the cultural belief of filial piety, that means we believe we are responsible for taking of our elders and not the government.
那另外呢，还有孝顺，其实在这些国家当中呢也是主要的原因。这是因为啊，我们都觉得我们对于老年人是要负赡养的责任，而政府呢则不需要。
So family a lot of time provide invisible but valuable care for our older people.
所以啊，我们都知道家庭呢，在对老年人进行照顾的时候呢，虽然说他们的角色我们也看不到，但是呢，却是非常有价值的。
And in a recent report, it is estimated that if family were not providing care for the older people, and the money that the government has to put in is enormous.
那根据我们最近的调查呢，就可以显示出来，如果说人们不在家里边进行赡养老人的活动的话呢，那政府的开支就会极大的上升。
For example, in United Kingdom, it is estimated that carers provide about $110 billion of soft value in the care.
比如说在英国吧，照顾者呢每年都可以提供大约价值1100亿英镑的照护。
And similar to in the States, yeah, the family caregivers provide approximately about $375 billion worth of care.
在美国呢也差不多，2007年的时候呢，照顾者每年都可以提供大约价值3750亿美金的照护。
So that means in fact family shoulder a lot of burden of care.
所以这就意味着在赡养老人的时候呢，家庭承担了绝大部分的负担。
And in a lot of studies, it is also shown that majority of the carers are women.
而且呢，在我们的研究当中也发现有这样一个现象，就是女性。
And this stresses of caregiving and also the coping.
那这个图呢就显示出来了我们照顾者所面临着的压力以及他们如何应对压力。
And for family who has to take care of older people, of course they have the primary caregiver stresses. That is those stresses directly related to the care of the older people. For example, taking care of the physical needs or have to manage the behavioral problem of dementia.
Well, those are some of the sounds from the conference today. Interesting to hear the initial introduction and then the vice president shouting down the microphone, which is the way they seem to do things here. And then I gave a fairly extended section of Sally Chan's introduction to her talk. She's always worth listening to.And another little snippet from it. Sally did no less than 3 hours this afternoon. Thankfully, I've only got a couple tomorrow afternoon, but we did have breaks in between. So today started at around 5:30 when I woke up and got ready to go to the gym. Went up at 6 o'clock and the place was in complete darkness, and it wasn't ready for me as they had said it would be. So I just came down to my room again, did some work.Contacted the helper who's supposed to be looking after me, and she said they would go and open it for 7:30, but that was too late because I had to have breakfast, and the conference started at 8 o'clock and we had to be there by 7:50, so sometimes the link between what can actually be achieved and the time to do it isn't always clear here. And then I came back after the opening ceremony, which you heard in the first part of the podcast,to work in my room for a while, and just had a constant stream of WeChats, which is a bit like WhatsApp, a messaging service used across here, about the gym and how she was up there waiting because she'd gone to check it, was I coming up, and all the rest of it, despite the fact that I said I was going at 12 o'clock and skipping lunch. I knew that would cause some consternation, because then when that penetrated, then we had to explain, or I had to explain,that I wasn't having lunch, and I would manage perfectly well without it, and I would have some dinner later. I was still offered lunch several times by several people when I went back down again. Eventually got myself to the gym, did 30 minutes on the treadmill. It was very welcome. Interesting place. They've moved the equipment from the sort of health spa up to what used to be the business centre at the top, so it's not exactly suitable. Made the arrangements for tonight and tomorrow morning.Everything seems to take a long time here. I know that the languages are different, but then why assign me someone who essentially can speak English but doesn't understand a word I'm saying? But thankfully, Daniel, the translator, is on hand to sort things out, and essentially, I know he's very busy, but they should just leave things to Daniel because he understands what's needed and also speaks fluent English and, of course, is Chinese. So Daniel will probably take over tonight. I'm glad to know he's coming out for dinner tonight because he's good fun. He likes a beer and we've already ordered a head cold beer. There's a strange habit in China of drinking warm beer in the summer and cold beer in the winter, which I simply cannot understand, apart from the yin-yang philosophy whereby you, when you're hot, you drink hot liquids, and when you're cold, you drink cold liquids. But I just don't know why they don't understand that when you're drinking warm beer, it tastes absolutely foul. So we'll see exactly what constitutes cold beer tonight. For the last two nights, it's been bottles of beer taken out and put in ice for a few minutes and then served. And of course, the first one's warm, the second one's lukewarm, and the third one isn't much better. They are not what could be described as cold. Another habit in China, for anybody who's not been here before, and this is an absolute given wherever you go, you get asked at the beginning of the evening how many beers you will drink. And of course, if you say, oh, one, or one at a time, the word one is all that's heard, and no other beers come out. They have to be brought out to the total of what you're going to drink. So if you like a good cold beer, you've always got to overestimate. But then, of course, there are no circumstances under which you can leave that beer. So it's very different culturally from those perspectives. Still, it's great fun.